I want to start a four-week series on the life of Noah and what he has to speak to us today. It's really a series about living with God and so many of the things that we have to go through. Now, last week for our Christian movie night, we shared Noah the Musical, which is put on by Sight and Sound Theaters. They have theaters in Pennsylvania and Branson, do a wonderful job of telling biblical stories. And I love drama. Anybody like drama? I love drama, and I love the power that a story has to get something into our hearts. That's what drama is all about. Jesus was great in the use of storytelling. That's what a parable is. It is a story that has a spiritual truth to it. And I believe that there are so many great spiritual truths contained in some of these dramas that Sight and Sound put on, that I want to take time to use Noah to do a whole series. We'll get back to our incredible, amazing Bible. We're just going to step away from it for about 4 weeks while I do this series. And we're going to be using portions of the drama itself. So if you didn't see it last week, you're going to get a chance to see it over the next 4 weeks. Here in the service. So I've got to hurry this morning. I want to get to it because the segment is about 30 minutes long, and then I just want to share with you some things about this morning about listening to God. I'm listening, Lord. So I want you to look for that as we're going through this clip this morning. Look for parts of the story that help you understand what does it mean to be listening to the Lord. How many think we ought to be listening to the Lord? See, it's not just Noah that needed to hear from God. We need to hear from God. And we need to hear from God. I need to hear from God every day. I don't know about you, but I need to hear from the Lord. I need to have conversations with him. But in order to hear from God, we have to be listening. We have to be listening to the Lord. So this morning, I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 6, just to set the stage for us from a biblical perspective, because that's our truth. It says this in Genesis 6. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great their wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, what did that verse say about Noah? That he was a righteous man, he was blameless, and he walked faithfully with God. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Verse 14, so make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark, and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, and you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. So in that one chapter, we essentially have the story of Noah. And then it continues on in chapter 7. We'll get into that later next week and in the weeks to come. But the story that you're about to see this week, it is a representation. It's a drama built around the scripture. And so I just wanted you to see where the scripture comes from. Now, there's other places that we learn about Noah. You can go back to chapter 5, and we will in a verse in a minute that talks about his lineage. You can go on into the book of Ezekiel. You can go to the book of Isaiah. You can find him several places in the New Testament. In the Gospels, Noah shows up. In the book of Hebrews, Noah shows up. And in the epistle that Peter wrote, Noah also shows up. So we have a lot of references to Noah that we can find in the Bible. Now, I want to give you just a few insights to Noah as we get into the story. Some of the things you'll see portrayed in the story, I just kind of want you to know that they are biblical, that they come from somewhere, but this is a made-up story, all right? But it's a true story because it's about a true character. Now, Noah, we know this. He was 500 years old when he had his sons. We don't know a whole lot more than that, other than the fact that the Bible indicates that he was 500 years old when he had his sons. Now, does that mean that, you have to begin to interpret, because there's some timing issues that you're trying to figure out here. Does that mean that that was the age that he was when God gave him the promise the first time? Obviously, when God gave him the promise, God said, you, your sons, and your sons' wives will enter the ark. Or did God wait until the sons were already grown and married and had their wives? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. One of the things that we do know is that Shem was about 98 years old. We can figure that out from the Bible, when the flood occurred. And so did God prophetically tell Noah, even before the boys were born, that they were going to be saved, their wives were going to be saved, or were they already born? I don't know. But we do know that he was 500 years old when he had his sons. Now, the other thing the Bible's not specific about, it just says he was 500 years old. Well, unless he had triplets, he probably didn't have all three of them when he was 500, right? Okay, so maybe that scripture even means that at the age of 500, he already had those three sons. Again, we can kind of see some of the other pictures that the Bible gives us about Noah and figure out that it most likely means that at the age of 500, he began having his sons. Okay, that seems to be the indication. His father's name was Lamech. And Lamech, again, we can figure out because of the genealogies, Lamech would have lived until 5 years before the flood. 5 years before the flood, he would have passed away. His grandfather was a recognizable name in the Bible. His grandfather was Methuselah. Why? What do we know Methuselah for? Yeah, the oldest living man recorded in the Bible. So, 969 years, by the way, he lived. So Methuselah, we know from the biblical records, would have lived until the year of the flood. Isn't that interesting? So Methuselah passed away right before the flood took place. It's one of the reasons why we don't see him on the ark. It's not that he wasn't a godly man. He was a godly man, but he passed away the year that the flood occurred. So Noah, I want you to get this, was the great, 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 great grandson of Adam. Now, count it up on your fingers today. He was the great, 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 great. Okay? Seven. Seven is a great number in the Bible. Adam had been gone for 132 years when Noah was born. So by the time Noah was born, Adam had already been dead for 132 years. However, what we do know is that Lamech, again based on the genealogies, would have lived for 50 years. So Noah's father would have been alive for 50 years of the last 50 years of Adam's life. So even though he was seven generations removed, seven greats, now in today's world, that person would never know their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. But in the days of Noah, it wasn't unusual to know back for five, six generations and them still be alive. My point is that even Adam would have had almost direct influence upon Noah's life in the fact that he, Adam, and Noah's father were contemporaries for 50 years. Now, Methuselah, Noah's grandfather, would have had 250 years to personally talk to Adam. So again, a great influence upon Noah's life would go all the way back to Adam, the original creation of God, the Son of God. So he was the seventh great, but he was the tenth generation, which is the number of completion. And his name, his father gave him that name Noah specifically for a reason. His name means rest or comfort. Rest or comfort. And so when he was born, Lamech prophetically named him because he believed that Noah would be the generation and that Noah himself would be the representation of the ending of the curse. Rest from the curse that had been incurred, of course, upon Adam. That there would come comfort from that curse. Genesis 5:29 tells us that. And it says this, he named him Noah and said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. So even his father Lamech had prophetic knowledge from God that this boy was going to be special and that something was going to occur during his lifetime. Now, the other thing I want to talk about real quickly, some people believe it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Because of passages like Genesis 6:3 and 1 Peter 3:20. Now, Genesis 6:3 says, then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. Some people want to interpret that verse as, okay, the length of life that men live will be shortened to 120 years. But we don't see that impact immediately. They continued after the flood to still live long lives. They began to get shorter, but they still live long lives. But if you look into that verse, and I don't have a whole lot of time this morning to go into detail, many people believe that that is saying that God was saying about 120 years before the flood came that, listen, this is not going to continue on forever. So in other words, my spirit is not going to contend with man forever. 120 years from now, there's coming a flood upon this earth that's going to destroy everybody, and we're going to start over with the line of Noah. 1 Peter 3:20 alludes to this too when he says, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Now, nobody knows absolutely for certain how long it took Noah to build the ark. But again, based on some of these things, some people believe that it could have taken as much as 120 years. So that at the announcement of the 120 years in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, they coincide that with the proclamation to Noah that he is to begin building the ark. In other words, God gave 120 years for people to change. 120 years for repentance to take place. 120 years for something different, for the outcome to be something different. Of course, God knew in his sovereignty that only Noah and his sons and wives are going to be saved, but it's no different than speaking of the sovereignty and the foreknowledge of God today. God knows who's going to be saved and who isn't going to be saved. He already knows that, right? But in his long-suffering patience, as we see it, as we participate in this life, God is waiting so that everybody might have an opportunity to come in. So some other people would point to a shorter time frame for building the ark, since Noah's son were mentioned in the first mention of God speaking to Noah, and we talked about that. So was it longer? Was it shorter? Could have been, you know, maybe this all took place after Noah's sons were born, had gotten married. I don't personally believe that. Here's the reason I don't believe that is because typically, if you read the genealogies, everybody waited until after they were 100 years old to get married. And so if we assume that God didn't give this promise till Noah until after all three sons had grown up and gotten married and they were well over 100 years old, it doesn't fit into the time frame at all, okay? So I personally believe that God gave the promise to him way before even his sons were of age and got married, and maybe he was building the ark while they were still little ones. They saw it their whole life. They were working on it, building it. At the time the ark was there, all three of them had wives, and they got on the ark. But nobody knows for sure. What's the correct answer? The correct answer is that it took a long time. Because the Bible tells us that much. It took a long time. And in addition to that, we see many places in the scripture that God's revelation to his servants was progressive in nature. In other words, I don't believe that Noah and God only had a couple of conversations about the ark. Do you? So what I'm saying is that what's recorded in Genesis chapter 6 may either summarize the more specific aspects of many conversations. Even though one conversation is recorded, there may have been multiple conversations between God and Noah about this subject. Just look at the incarnation. There were multiple conversations. There wasn't just one conversation with Mary. There was conversations with Mary, with Joseph. There were other people who were involved in this. Joseph had multiple revelations from God in a progressive nature. And so it's not unthinkable that Noah had many conversations with God over the years about building this ark. Or the other possibility, as I said, is that that God simply spoke prophetically, in other words, of what is to come to Noah in regards to you, your sons, and your sons' wives will be saved. God knew who they would marry, right? And so God may have just prophetically 120 years before they were even born, he could have said, Noah, you and your sons and their wives and your wife, they're all going to be saved on this ark. Regardless, let's take a look this morning at what this representation of the story of Noah has to teach us about listening to the Lord.
In the beginning of time, God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. And God placed them in a beautiful garden called Eden. A place to fellowship with God, to live in perfect harmony with each other and with him. Then, being tempted by Satan, they disobeyed God. And this paradise was lost. The door to Eden was shut. Thus, by one man, sin had entered into the whole world. And it came to pass that the wickedness of man increased and became so great that every thought and intent of his heart was continually evil. There was no fear of God in him, and the Lord God was grieved in his heart that he had made man. But there was one man who pleased God and found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That man is Noah.
beautiful morning you have made, Jehovah. I bless your holy name. La 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 la, and I will worship you all of my days. What a beautiful morning you have made. The dawning of the day is so peaceful, just as you are, my friend, Karoon. Yona, I'm coming. Patience, old girl. Your food is on the way for you.
And so is yours, my dear. Look at all these eggs today.
Holy Moona, the Lord's blessings are overwhelming. Abundant food, a beautiful morning, and a far more beautiful wife.
Oh, if you're trying to get an extra portion for breakfast, it's working.
What a beautiful morning you have made, Jehovah. It's wonderful to give you praise.
Shem, Keturah, isn't God good?
His mercies are new every day. What a beautiful morning he has made.
I couldn't have said it better.
Good morning, Father.
Oh, Japheth, Kayla. Already hard at work, I see.
We like to get an early start.
At least Japheth does.
Have you seen Ham?
No. Who knows what he's doing? No.
Good morning, Father!
Good morning, Ham.
Ham, just grab him.
Go!
Great idea, Japheth. I hadn't thought of that.
I'll get him. Come on!
Now this is going to be interesting.
I don't know who's more stubborn, Ham, Japheth, or the goat.
Oh, you're right about that, Arel.
Hey! Hello, Noah.
Millik, my brother, good morning. How good to see you. Boy, it's been such a long time.
Oh, I have been so occupied with all that's going on in the city. You know, world-changing events are happening. It's incredible. I would love to talk with you about it, Noah, but I can't stay today. I just came to give Japheth some iron ore for that new plow he's designing.
Oh, iron's expensive. Well, that's very generous of you, brother.
We're family. We need to support each other, right?
Yes.
Millik, what a wonderful surprise. Oh, it's so good to see you. Yes. You're just in time for breakfast.
Oh, I'm sorry, Amuna, but I've got an important meeting in Nod. Next time.
Oh, all right, but we miss seeing you, Millik. You're a gift from the Lord to us, and we love you.
And I love you, Amuna.
Oh, I hope so. After 300 years of marriage, you're stuck with me now.
Oh, I wouldn't have it any other way.
What a beautiful morning you have made, Jehovah. We can face our future unafraid. You shower us with blessings from above. What a beautiful morning you have made. What a beautiful day.
Uncle Millik, you're here.
Yeah.
And you caught the goat.
Well, it's a law of nature, Ham. You know, animals are humans. It's all the same. Give them what they want, you'll have them eating out of your hands. It's good to see you.
No, don't leave. You just got here.
Well, I have to. Oh, and Japheth, something in the barn for you.
Oh, my iron ore.
Thank you, Uncle Millik. All right, Ham, come on. You can help me. Really. Let's go.
Thanks, Japheth.
The Lord bless you, brother. Never forget how much he loves you.
Yep, I will get this family caught up with the rest of the world yet, Noah.
Bye, Uncle
Millik. Bye, Uncle
Millik. Shalom.
Bye, love you. Now, Noah, breakfast will be ready soon. Don't get distracted milking Yona.
Oh, not today. I'm hungry.
Right.
Good morning, thank you.
Good morning,
Arel. All right, Yona. We better get busy, Oh, Yona. God is so good, Now, calm down. I'm warming my hands. I didn't forget. All right. Here we go again.
Noah.
Yes? Imuna!
Yes?
Imuna, are you calling me?
No, dear.
Huh.
Noah.
Yona, do you hear someone calling me? That's what I thought. Well, a little taste won't hurt. The good stuff.
Noah.
God. My God, Jehovah, is it you?
Noah. Don't be afraid.
It is you.
You have found favor in my sight. You've given your heart to me. Now I will share mine with you. The earth is filled with violence and corruption. Mankind has turned his back on me and refuses to return. My heart is grieved, for now I must judge those whom I've created. Noah. Water will rain down from the sky. I will cover the earth with a great flood, destroying every living being.
A flood? Covering every living being?
Everything in which there is breath of life will die. But I have found you to be righteous. I will protect you. Noah, you must build an ark.
An ark?
Yes. You and your family will enter it and be saved. You must bring two of every animal, bird, and reptile, male and female, into the ark with you.
But Lord, how shall I build it?
You shall build it out of gopher wood. It shall have one door and many rooms inside. Make it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high.
Yes, Lord. I see.
Now go, and don't be afraid. For I, the Lord your God, am with you.
Oh, my Lord and my God, with all my heart I give you praise. Who am I to receive so great a gift? The ark, a promise from you whereby we shall be saved. Thank you. For having mercy upon me and my family this day. Thank you for remembering us. Let it be done according to your word, Almighty God. I worship you. But where do I begin? Yona, where do I build an ark? 450 feet long and 45 feet high. Whoa! Whoa! What will Imuna say about this? Where will I put it? Why not right there? By the house? Yes. Yes, what did he say? 75 feet wide. Well, that's that's right in the middle of Imuna's vegetable garden. I better put it back here. 450 feet. That's 3, 6, 9.
Noah, aren't you done milking Yona? Your breakfast is getting cold.
12, 15, 18.
Noah, what are you doing?
Imuna?
What?
I think my morning meal will have to wait.
You're not going to eat.
400.
What? Noah, are you feeling
ill? Imuna, call the girls.
Now?
Boys! Girls!
Girls, come quickly, girls!
Everyone come! Hurry!
Father, needs
Father, what is it?
I don't know.
My family!
What is it?
The Lord God Jehovah has spoken to me.
He spoke to you?
Yes!
How?
Well, I heard his voice with my ears. Oh, but also in my heart.
What did he say?
Well, he said all creation has rejected him. Mankind refuses to turn from his wicked ways. Now, the long-suffering patience of the Lord has finally ended. And all living things must be destroyed.
Oh, my Lord. How can this be?
All living things will be destroyed?
Yes.
When will this happen?
Well, he did not tell me when, but judgment will be poured out with a flood.
Flood? What do you mean?
Water will cover the earth. It will rain down from the sky.
But that's never happened before.
This world is ending. We will see many things we've never seen before. I just can't believe this.
I thought we'd have children and all grow old together. I can't believe our lives would end this way.
Oh, my precious family. Our lives will not end this way. The Lord has promised to save us.
What?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Well, he told me to build an ark.
A what?
An ark. It's a large house. A very large house with many floors and rooms that will float on top of the water, and we will all live in it.
We're going to live in it?
Yes! Oh! And we are to bring along two of every kind of animal, bird, and reptile. That's what he said.
We do believe you, Father. It's just difficult to understand.
Yes.
But we are the only ones. No one else will be saved.
Only those found in the Ark of Safety will be saved.
How do we even begin something like this?
We should begin on our knees and seek the Lord for his wisdom. He is faithful, and with him, all things are possible. He will reveal and provide what we need as we need it.
My heart already breaks for all those who will be lost. And I can't believe the grace the Lord has shown us. I just can't take it all in.
Lord, we worship you. And we give you honor and praise.
From the day God commissioned Noah, Noah and his sons acted upon the word which God had spoken, praying, planning, and designing the ark with parchment, charcoal, clay, and wood, modeling it according to God's direction. Day after day, God's wisdom was imparted to Noah and his three sons.
Father, now these were some of the first plans that we drew. Now, this was Shem's favorite. Ham liked this one. But this is the one I think is best.
Well, the Lord gave us the dimensions, but he left the design up to us.
You know, it's also good we're using gopher wood. I mean, oak is too heavy and make us sink.
It's the size and shape of the boat that makes it float, Ham, not the kind of wood that's used.
All right, Japheth. You don't even know how to swim.
Why would I even need to know how to
swim? I'm just estimating the amount of resources we'll need to build this. I don't know how we're going to do it.
We've never even been on a boat. So what
if it's another good boys! We can't try to figure this out on our own. Everything about this ark demands faith. Each day we will seek the Lord, and he will show us what to do.
Well, tomorrow may be our first trip to the city of Nod, but it won't be our last.
I never thought I would go there, but it's the only way to get the supplies we need. Look at this.
It's going to take years to build. We'll be old men before we're done.
What's the matter with being an old man?
Hey, Great-grandma Methuselah!
Boys, I'm over 800 years old. At my age, I've seen it all, heard it all, done it all. I just can't remember it all.
Hey, hello, Ham. Hey, don't let him fool you, boys. He remembers everything, huh? Oh, like your father's plans to build a huge boat with animals on it?
Now, Melek, I know this is difficult for you to understand.
It's difficult for any thinking person to understand.
Brother, we grew up in the same family together. You know the ways of the Lord and that his ways are not our ways.
That his ways don't work anymore.
Now, Melek,
I'm sorry, Grandfather, but the world is changing. If you don't change with it, you're going to be left behind.
So tell me why I need this change.
Because from every nation, the world is coming together as one. United for one purpose, under one leader. Now, the power in that is unlimited. And out of all of the people, Lahav has made me governor of this province.
Lahav? Oh,
well, he's an ungodly man, Melek.
He's a visionary who looks forward. not back.
Well, I can see this is an honor for you, Melek, but we serve the Lord, not this Lahab.
Well, that's where you need to change your thinking. Huh? You can do both. But for now, stay away from the city of Nod.
We're going there tomorrow.
What? No.
We have to. We can't start building until we get supplies from the city.
Building. Noah, why are you doing this?
Because this world is ending, Melek.
Noah! I brought the sacks of sea grain you requested.
Oh, Azar, excellent. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. You've spent more on seeds for planting than I've earned in 2 years.
Well, we need to begin storing up large amounts of grain.
I can't believe he's doing this.
Noah, now, I'm just curious. What would it cost to get a ride on that boat?
Oh, no cost at all. We would love to have you come along.
No, you don't want me.
Azar, the Lord desires to save you, not destroy you. He's ready to forgive if you're willing to believe.
Well, not now, Noah. I have so much work to do. Maybe later. I'm just too busy.
Too busy to save your life?
Some other time, Noah, but not today.
All right. But if you change your mind, come. We'll talk anytime, day or night.
Noah, have you gone mad? You know, if you continue to pursue this delusion, do you realize where this is going to end?
And judgment is coming, Melek. People need to know.
Do not go to the city.
I have to. I have no choice.
Then you go at your own risk. I cannot protect you there. You may be able to persuade an ignorant country peasant like Azar, but you breathe a word of this in Nod, it will not be tolerated. Do you understand?
I understand you, brother. I wish you understood me.
Good night, Grandfather.
Oh, I get so upset when I talk with him.
Yeah, because you're a lot alike. You're both passionate about what you believe.
I want him to believe the truth.
I'm sure he's thinking the same thing about us.
Well, we better get on with our planning.
Now, Japheth, what's that at the top of the ark?
Oh, it's a sail.
Oh, that's what that is.
I don't know. Do you think we need it?
Well, I think that the Lord will guide the ark, but I do think he need more vents.
Why?
Well, all those animals will eat all that food, and then...
Oh! Forget the sails! We need more vents!
Right.
Great Lahav, the future's here. before us. Together, there is nothing we cannot do!
Seven generations ago, the first human was born. Cain was judged and rejected by Jehovah. But Cain did not quit. When he was kicked aside, he kicked back!
Yes!
And the spirit of Cain has survived and thrived. And now, we dominate the earth! Yes! To enforce and advance our way of life, I have elected three governors, zealous, ruthless men. Arad, the governor of Euphrates.
All that we need is within us. We will bow to no god.
Yes! Jubal, the governor of Sumer.
There is no right or wrong. We are free to live as our hearts desire.
Yes! And Melek, the newly appointed governor of Zakros.
With Lahab as our leader, we are creating a new world. Together, there is nothing we cannot do.
Yes! We are the children of Cain, and together,
there is nothing we cannot do.
Sir, we don't want to cause any trouble.
It's too late for that.
Please, allow us to leave now.
Not without Governor Melek's permission.
Forgive me, Governor Melek. But those men over there were causing trouble in the market this morning and claimed to be part of your family.
What? Don't know. I'll handle this. Yes, Governor. Noah, I can't believe this. I told you to stay away from here, but you never listened to anyone.
Uncle Melek, I don't have it.
The merchants would not sell us supplies until we told them why we needed them. It's oh, so you told them the truth?
Well, we couldn't lie.
Noah, why would you say you knew me? He
it
didn't.
Wasn't.
I did. I thought it would help. But just go home, all right? Quickly, I'll cover it up somehow. Go.
Melek, wait! Don't send your family away. I want all of us to meet them.
That won't be necessary, Lahab. They're leaving now.
Ladies, escort our guests to the platform.
Yes, Lahab.
Melek, you've been deceptive.
That wasn't my intention.
Did you tell me your brother was not one of us?
No.
I am a very vengeful man. Don't ever deceive me. People of Nod, come meet Governor Melek's family. You're Melek's brother?
Yes, I am Noah, and these are my sons.
Welcome to Nod. You've purchased an extraordinary amount of supplies. Melek, why does your brother need all of these provisions?
For a building project.
What is he building?
He told me he's building an enormous boat. A ship! So big, everyone in Nord could fit in it!
Why would he build a boat hundreds of miles from the sea?
He said the world was coming to an end.
My brother is a farmer. He's from the country. He has very different ideas. I think he needs to explain himself.
Yes?
What did you mean when you said the world coming to an end, Noah?
A flood of judgment is coming that will destroy all flesh upon the earth. It'll be poured out from heaven with water from the sky.
Water from the sky? That's impossible.
The water comes from the ground, not the sky.
Where did you get these ideas, Noah?
The Lord God Jehovah spoke to me.
Melek! As governor, I assumed you'd have the total support of your family.
And certainly not a brother who honors Jehovah and who speaks such condemning words.
Yes, Noah, what did you mean by saying judgment's coming upon us?
Like your ancestor Cain, you have rejected Jehovah as your God. For hundreds of years, he has been merciful and patient, but you have purposely removed him from your lives. Without him, every thought and desire of your heart is corrupted. Your godlessness has polluted the earth, and now it must be cleansed.
You speak words of treason!
I'm speaking words of truth! But even now, it is not too late to escape judgment.
Father,
the door of the ark is still open to you. If you will just confess Jehovah is God and commit your life to worship him, he will. He can enter that ark.
Lahav, fellow governors, people of Nod, I am sickened by the behavior of this man today, and I do not share in his judgmental, intolerant beliefs. And as of this day, I will ensure that he never enters this city again. Noah, you and your sons are banished from this place forever. Leave immediately.
Let's just go. Come
on. Father!
Excuse me. Without your supplies!
What?
But they're ours. We paid for them.
You lost that privilege. Go.
Get out.
Today, you have witnessed the fear and danger the worshiper of Jehovah brings. And also the passion your governor Melek has for defending you! Yes! Melek, your brother's supplies belong to you now.
No. No, they belong to the people of Nod! Go!
It's all yours. Please. Please.
I hope you've learned that I demand absolute loyalty.
Yes, Lahava.
There can be no compromise between those who follow the God of Adam and those who do not. Governors, when we as a people are united, there is nothing we cannot do. Come, it is time to create a new world.
So let's take a look this morning at what the story of Noah teaches us about listening to the Lord. And we'll continue with the drama in the weeks to come. And I know they're longer segments, but I really wanted you to begin to get the idea and get this story in your head. Doesn't make it come alive when you read through Genesis 6 and then you see it portrayed of this possibility of how it could come into being. I'm listening, Lord, is what we want to talk about this morning. I'm listening. How do we listen to God? Number one, I'm listening by walking with God. The only way we're going to hear God is to walk with the Lord. I'm listening by walking with God. Are you walking with God? Are you listening to his word? Are you listening in prayer? Are you spending any time with God in prayer? This is how we listen to the Lord. This is how we walk with God. How about when you worship? Are you walking with God by worshiping him? When you come into this place, and not just in this place, but all throughout the week, are you spending time worshiping the Lord in your day-to-day activities? Worship isn't just coming into a building and singing a few songs. Worship is our responsiveness to God, our acknowledgement of who God is. In all these ways, we can be walking with God. And I believe the scripture tells us, and the story reminds us, that Noah was a man who walked with God. How else can we walk with God? I think one of the key things that we need to learn from Noah's life about walking with God is this, that we walk with God in purity and in obedience. I'm listening, Lord, by walking with God. Listen, if you want to hear the voice of God, then do what Noah did. Walk with him in purity and obedience. When you are not walking in the purity of the Word of God, when you're not obeying what God has already revealed to you, you're not going to hear more of God's voice. You can't hear God when you are living in disobedience. And that's one of the reasons why the only person who heard from God during that time was Noah. Because the Bible says he was a righteous man. And he lived pure in an impure world. If you want to listen for the voice of God, you have to begin listening to his word, begin listening when you're spending time in prayer, begin listening when you're worshiping God, and begin listening by walking in purity and in obedience. Number two, how do we listen to the Lord? We learn from those who have gone before. We learn from those who have gone before. Noah was from the line of Seth. What we know in the Bible is that the line of Seth were those who chose to call on the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us. The difference between Cain and Seth, and the line of Cain and the line of Seth, is that there's a description in the book of Genesis that says the line of Seth began to call on the name of the Lord. It doesn't say that about the line of Cain. Noah was from the line of Seth. And obviously, someone, I don't know if you get this from just reading Genesis 6, but obviously someone, and perhaps many someones, like Methuselah, like Lamech, and the ongoing influence of people like Adam and Seth. And what about Enoch? The Bible says that Enoch, who was a couple generations prior to Noah, Enoch, who gave birth to Methuselah, who gave birth to Lamech, who gave birth to Noah, Enoch was so faithful in his walk with God that God took him. He didn't experience death. God just took him because he walked with God faithfully. So someone in that line obviously taught Noah about God. See how important it is for us to teach our young people about God, to influence the next generation, to understand who the Lord is. We listen by learning from those who have gone before us. And I want you to notice something. And I think we miss this, but again, if you back up to Genesis chapter 5, you will see that Lamech had other sons and daughters. So when this drama represents Noah having a brother, that's very accurate. We don't know what Noah's brother's name was. We don't know how many brothers he had, how many sisters he had, but the Bible does say that his father had other sons and daughters after he had Noah. And so our minds, we don't think about it sometimes. What would it have been like to be Noah, to love the Lord, to hear from God, and yet those family members, all of them around you, because not one of them is mentioned as loving and knowing God, not one of them found their way onto the ark. That means, I guarantee you, even though he didn't have social media, he had many conversations with those brothers and sisters about what God had spoken to him. What do you think those conversations were like? My point is this, that Noah chose to learn from the godly influences who had gone before him, but his brothers and sisters chose not to. We have to choose to learn from the godly influences that we have around us. And there are godly influences around us. And it doesn't matter whether your mother, father, grandmother, and grandfather were Christian or not. You have the privilege of having godly influences. That's why spiritual moms and dads are so important. But you have to choose to learn from those who have gone before. Many have difficulty interpreting Genesis 6, 1 through 4. It says that when human beings began to increase in number on the earth, the daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown." So many people look at that and they try to come up with an interpretation of that and try to understand, what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, that the angels came down and had children with the daughters? Some people go to the extreme of saying aliens, that meant aliens, you know, and they point to the word Nephilim that's repeated later on in the book, in the books of the law that talk about the Nephilim who were in the land, the giants who were in the land. But the word Nephilim means fallen ones. It means fallen ones. And so it wouldn't be an incorrect assumption to say that the sons of God and the daughters of men referred to the line of Seth and the line of Cain. And the fact that really what it's saying is that, listen, people didn't care who they were marrying, and ungodly or godly people were marrying into ungodly families. And the influence of that is that they fell away from God. It's not hard to see, because we see it repeated over and over in Scripture, that somebody who was from a godly line chose to ignore all that, especially when it came to a relationship with a woman, and went after somebody who was ungodly. Solomon, the wisest of all men, he was led astray. Why? Because he chose to go after ungodly women and marry them. And the Bible says that they led him astray. So what I'm saying is that we need to choose to learn from those who have gone before, not be influenced by those who have fallen away from God, but be influenced by those who have kept themselves close to the Lord. And this is true. Listen to me this morning. We can learn from those who have gone before. I've talked about this many times. We've talked about it on Wednesday nights a lot over the years, that you can learn from both positive and negative influences. So if you say, well, those who've gone before me in my family, they are all ungodly, or they didn't follow the Lord, you can learn from that too. And we should be learning. I mean, shouldn't we begin to understand? Shouldn't those who are from the line of Cain be able to look back and say, Cain did what was wrong, and Cain was cursed because of that? Listen, great, 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 great grandpa Adam and great, 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 great grandmother Eve, they did what was wrong too, and they received a curse. Shouldn't we learn from those things? We can learn not only from the positive influences in our lives, but from the negative influences in our lives. They should direct us back to what is right. And that's listening to God. God's trying to get your attention. Even through the negative things that have happened in your life, God is trying to get your attention and say, look, I'm here. I've got a better way, but you've got to listen to me. Anybody had some negative experiences? Raise your hand. Anybody? Learn from those. Let God teach you. Listen to what the Lord is saying about those negative experiences so that you don't have to repeat them. Amen. I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening by learning from those who have gone before. Number three, how do we listen to the Lord? I'm listening by separating myself from the world. I'm listening by separating myself from the world. You want to hear God? Then begin to separate yourself from the things of the world. Again, this is one of the reasons why I believe Noah heard from God. Because he chose not to indulge in the sinfulness of the world, but to separate himself from the world. See, we learned several things about the relationship between man and God in Genesis 6. First of all, that man had separated himself from God. With the exception of Noah, man had separated himself from God. And thus God said he will not contend or fight with them in order to get them to accept him. God wasn't going to keep fighting and say, I'm going to force you to accept me. I'm going to fight with you until you accept me. God said, I'm done contending with them. That word to contend can also mean remain in them. In other words, God was saying, I'm not going to contend with the spirit of man forever. My spirit will not contend with his spirit forever. His number shall be 120 years. Again, prophetically, that God was saying in 120 years, the flood is coming. I'm not going to remain where I am not wanted, is what God is saying. God will never remain where he's not wanted. The Spirit of God will not remain in a heart and in a mind that doesn't want him. And if our heart and our mind want the things of the world, then God will back off. God will defer to your choice. And if you want the things of the world, he will allow you to have the things of the world. But here's what you cannot have. You cannot have both. Remember the character that walks through that brought the grain? And he's asking him about, you know, the ark. And he said, and Noah told him, you can't have both. Listen, you can't have God and the world too. So I like the representation. The second thing that we see in Genesis 6 is that the result of their separation from God produced a people, watch this, who only thought about evil all the time. In other words, they were corrupt, they were evil, there was great wickedness, the earth was full of violence. All of those descriptions are in Genesis 6. And it sounds to me a lot like the world today, doesn't it? I mean, all of those descriptions sound a lot. People have separated themselves from God. When we separate from God, we become corrupt, evil, wicked, full of violence. This is such a violent world that we live in. And it will continue to do so in increasing measure and until the Lord returns and judges this earth. And when we separate from God, we cannot hear the Lord. We can only hear the things of the world. And so this representation of the city of Nod is a great representation of what may have been happening in Noah's day, is that men were saying, we don't need God. We are our own gods. We determine right and wrong. Is that not the world we live in today? We determine right and wrong. There is no right and wrong. We can do anything. And we live in a world that believes we can do anything. We don't need God. We separate ourselves from God. We don't hear the voice of God. But if you want to hear the voice of God, you have to separate yourself from the world. There are two voices contending for our attention. Every one of us has two voices contending for our attention. The voice of the world and the voice of God. When we immerse ourselves in the world, we begin to default to those voices. So the more that we pay attention to the world, the more we immerse ourselves in the culture of the world, and it doesn't have to be by doing bad things, but just the more that you hear the voices of the world, the more you're going to default to those voices. And soon, you begin believing those voices, and then finally, you act according to their direction. However, when we choose to separate ourselves from the world and immerse ourselves in the presence of God, So you have to immerse yourself in the presence of God. How? His word, prayer, worship, fellowship with other believers. What are you doing to immerse yourselves into the presence of God? When you do that, you begin to hear his voice more clearly. I get people coming to me all the time. I don't know what to do. I need to hear the voice of God. Listen, the answer is clear. Then you're going to have to immerse yourself in the presence of God. You certainly are not going to hear the voice of God when you're immersed in the presence of the world. I love that whole statement that says, you want to hear the voice of God? Read the Bible. You want to hear the audible voice of God? Read the Bible out loud. You've got to immerse yourself, because here's what happens. We begin to hear the voice of God when we immerse ourselves in the presence of the Lord. His word, prayer, worship, fellowship with other believers, Bible study. We begin to hear his voice more clearly, and then we can put our faith in that word, and then we act upon those truths that he is speaking to us. That's why Romans 10 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we separate ourselves from this world, we position ourselves to be able to hear the voice of God. I'm listening by separating myself from the world. What about James 4:4? He says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? We talked about this last week. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. You want to hear the voice of God? Begin separating yourself from the world. I'm talking about separating ourselves from the wickedness of the world. I'm talking about separating ourselves from the thinking of the world. I'm talking about separating ourselves from the theology and the belief systems of the world. I know we can't be removed from this world, and I know that God wants us here because we can still be an influence on those who have yet to be saved. That's not what I'm talking about. And again, I like this drama because it depicts that Noah wasn't just isolated when he built this ark, but he still had interactions with people, and you're going to continue to see that. He still had interactions with people from the world, but he had separated himself from the theology of the world, the belief system of the world, the wickedness of the world. And he had immersed himself in the presence of God. And then number four, I'm listening by acting upon what I hear. I'm listening by acting upon what I hear. Everyone knows that there are different levels of listening, right? I heard one man declare on a game show advertisement, I'm a good listener, just don't ask me to tell you what you said. I saw that. I was like, what? I'm a good listener, just don't ask me to tell you what you said. And so the lady said this, and that means you're not a good listener. The reason he says that is there's different levels of listening. And in fact, one of the tools that's used to help us truly listening, to make sure that we're really listening, one of the tools is to repeat back what we've just heard. Anybody ever use that term? Yeah. You repeat it back to me so that I know that you really were listening to me. Okay? It helps us get it into our understanding and our spirits. So there's levels of listening. And so I believe that that's one aspect of listening to God as well. That we act upon what we have heard. In other words, we put it into practice. Isn't that what we learned in James? Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Because when we begin to act upon the message, then it gets deep down into our spirits. And when we act upon the message, it's what empowers that word to produce fruit in our lives. So listening comes from acting upon what we're hearing from God. And that's what Noah did. Genesis 6:22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. He put it into practice. He acted upon what he heard. How about Genesis 7:5? And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Let me stop and ask you this morning. When you say, I'm listening to the Lord, good. Are you acting upon what you've already heard? Whether it be a Bible verse or a principle that you learned in worship or something that you heard in Sunday school class today or a sermon that was preached or something that the Lord shared with you personally in prayer or a scripture that he pointed out to you the last time that you were reading your word, are you acting upon it? Because that's what real listening is about. Doing what God has spoken to our hearts. See, God speaks and he 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 speaks. But we act on so little of what he has told us. Are you acting upon what you hear? Now, to me, acting upon what I hear means that I have faith in the impossible. See, I think too many people are waiting for God to tell them something that sounds logical, that sounds possible before they act upon it, right? But nothing that Noah heard from God was possible. Nothing. There was no way it was possible that rain would come down from the sky. Read the Bible. It hadn't happened yet. The earth was watered from the ground up. It's an accurate portrayal. And so for God to say, look, it's going to rain. And water is going to come from the sky. That can't happen. Just the thought of a global flood, that can't happen. How about building something that you've never used or seen or experienced before? Build an ark. A what? You know, a big floating house. Build it big enough to store two of every living animals. I mean, is that impossible or what? I mean, even when I read it today, I'm like, how in the world could you possibly store all of those animals and feed them and take care of them? And yeah, what would you do with the smell? There's actually been some great scientific books written about how the ark actually could work from a scientific standpoint. But from just a regular mindset, it can't work. It's impossible. So what I'm talking about in listening is acting upon what I hear is having faith in the impossible. Hebrews 11:7 says that by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, as keeping with faith. So you're going to have faith in the impossible to act on what you've heard. And then you're going to have perseverance in that which is hard. Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Acting upon what I've heard from God often requires perseverance in that which is hard. Can you imagine how hard it would have been to act upon this instruction to build the ark? How long it would have taken, how many people laughed at him, how many people said, it can't be done, it's impossible, you're crazy, it's never going to happen. It won't work. That's the wrong design. We're going to take everything from you. And we'll see more about that next week. And then finally, listening by acting upon what I hear. We do that by sharing it with others. By sharing it with others. You want to be in a position to listen from God, then you're going to have to act upon it. You act upon it by sharing with others. And that's what Noah did. 2 Peter 2:5, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Noah shared what God had spoken to him with other people. And then I love this psalm. I encourage you, get in this psalm the next couple weeks. It really is a psalm. The whole psalm is a psalm about Noah. I don't know. It's not titled that. I don't know if David had Noah in mind when he wrote it. But when I read Psalm 40, I see Noah. All about Noah. And here's what I want to read you today as we close from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 10. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. I'm so thankful that God, in His grace, gives us the ability to hear His voice. Wasn't it really a grace thing that God spoke to Noah and said, build this ark? And isn't it a grace thing when God speaks to us and says, here's my plan, here's my son, here's what I want you to do with your life, here's how to live your life? That's grace. Giving us the ears even to hear what the scripture is saying, what is being preached in a sermon, what is being taught in a Bible study. And David says, my ears you have opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. In other words, God, I've been listening. And I've not just been listening on a, you know, just my ears heard it, but my heart has heard it. It's in my heart. And then the psalmist moves to this proclamation. He said, not only have I listened, not only have my ears been opened, not only have I heard, but part of that process is verse 9. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Man, I picture Noah when I picture that. In other words, Noah heard from God about this plan of salvation, and he didn't seal his lips, but he began to proclaim it. But how many knows what comes when we begin to proclaim it? Persecution, laughing, scorn, ridicule. And yet he was faithful. Listen, we have a hard job in this generation. The job of proclaiming the truth of God's word to a generation who has separated themselves from God, who doesn't want to listen to God. And when we proclaim the truth of God, it sounds to them as stupid as the plan that Noah must have shared with his generation sounded to them. It really does. It sounds as far out and obscure to them when we say, hey, you know, if you went to church, hey, if you just give your life to Jesus, hey, if you would repent of your sins, hey, if you would live according to what Christ has called us to live, that sounds about as stupid to them as what Noah was presenting to his generation. But you have to share what God is speaking, and that's all a part of the process of listening. So this morning, I want you to put these seeds in your heart. Judy, if you go to the next screen. I'm listening by walking with God. I'm listening by learning from those who have gone before. I'm listening by separating myself from the world. I'm listening by acting upon what I hear. Father, we indeed want to be like Noah and hear your voice. In a generation that the Bible calls the same as the days of Noah, we want to be like Noah. And it begins by listening for your voice. Open up our ears, as you spoke in Psalm 40, that we might hear your word and that might find a place within our hearts so that we can put it into practice in our lives. Oh God, help us to walk with you this week in purity and obedience, to get in your word more than ever before, to stop and take some time to pray this week, to worship you. Thank you, Lord, that you're still speaking today to your servant. I ask one more time, may we hear your voice, and I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.